Good morning, this is the morning news for today, Thursday, November 24th, 2016. I'm your presenter, Richie Ferrol, and here are the headlines. Hotelier says government failed Dominica in the agriculture, tourism, health and housing sectors. Curaçao refinery operator in financial crisis. And Trump picks Nikki Haley and Betsy DeVos as first women for cabinet. The news is brought to you compliments DigiCell. The details of these and more stories after this.
Fast, play loud, play bold. Enjoy flexibility and best value from Digicel Play's new TV and broadband bundles from as low as $89. With Play Fast, enjoy 32 video channels. Play Loud gives you 46 video channels. Then there's Play Bold, 98 video channels. All bundles come with 50 music channels, 8 radio channels, and 8 megs internet. Choose the bundle that's right for you. Sign up today. Get free connection, free installation, and set up box, or sign up for our TV only offer from as low as $25. Call 616-1700 for details.
Welcome back. In news this morning, hotelier Atherton Mate believes the DLP government has failed Dominica in the health, agriculture, housing and tourism sectors. He says better management of the country's resources is needed. He stressed that a country's economy cannot depend on one sole means of revenue. Recently, Dominica's Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerritt said banana levels will not rebuild Dominica. Tourism earnings alone will not rebuild Dominica in the short or medium term, and payroll and other direct taxes will not rebuild Dominica now or ever. Mr. Skerritt added, this is a program that opposition parliamentarians are on social media deriding and putting up for public ridicule. When you destroy this goose, what other specimen of bird will they bring forward to underwrite the cost of developing this country? What is the alternative? That we should tax the country to raise $271 million to finance the budget? What is the alternative? How many of us can pay more taxes in Dominica? How many of us are able to pay taxes in Dominica to finance the development of our country? The Prime Minister emphasized that more than 90% of the island's capital project this year is being funded directly and through the Citizenship by Investment Program. However, Atherton Mate had this to say.
Why have you failed to invest in agriculture? Why have you failed to invest properly in housing? Why have you failed to invest properly in health? Because Dominica's real strength in health has always been primary healthcare, preventative healthcare. That is where we made our mark at the World Health Organization by building under the stewardship of Dr. Carissa Etienne, who is now head of PAHO. We built up a primary healthcare system. Well, what is the state of primary healthcare, preventative healthcare today? I'm asking to look at the state of the very roads at Libla. That was his legacy to us. Mm-hmm. He opened up Dominica for the farmers so that people didn't have to put their cotton on their back and then walk to the heights for 3 hours, start doing a little farming, and then start walking back to the village, crossing how many rivers to get back home, etc., not being able to take their produce out. And Libla knew that well, because as an extension officer, he visited a lot of those people. So he was determined to open up those roads. And the same roads he opened up, the same roads he used British Development Aid and Canadian Aid and other aid to build, this aberration calling itself labor has destroyed that infrastructure. And then they have the gall to ask, show me another goose.
Hotelier Atherton Mate. Meantime, the Dominica government says it is confident that in the new fiscal year, it will surpass the amount of monies already made in the Citizenship by Investment program. Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerritt arrived back on island late last week following a 13-day trip to over 4 countries where he embarked on a major marketing campaign to promote Dominica's CBI program. Some of the countries included in the trip were Hong Kong, Bangkok, Dubai, and Morocco. And amidst accusations of secrecy surrounding his trip, the Prime Minister says the trip was a success.
As a result of this marketing initiative, the government of Dominica is supremely confident that it will, this next financial year, surpass the $271 million derived from the CBI contributions last year. Is that what the controversy in the country is about? I am very happy with the outcome of my recent travels. In 2 weeks, I visited over 4 countries and interfaced with scores of groups of individuals eager and excited to learn more about Dominica and to invest in the development of this country. I am confident that we shall reach our budgetary targets this year. Amazingly, while I was away, I read where a minister in a sister Caribbean island was lamenting the fact that earnings from the CBI program this year are way, way down. The government of Dominica is being vilified today because earnings from Dominica's CBI program are way, way up.
The Prime Minister added that the constant criticism of the Citizenship by Investment program is tantamount to economic terrorism.
Patriotic Dominicans need to understand that this constant attack on the CBI program is tantamount to economic terrorism on the part of its perpetrators. Banana revenues will not rebuild Dominica. Tourism earnings alone will not rebuild Dominica in the short or medium term. Payroll and other direct taxes will not rebuild Dominica now or ever. More than 90% of our capital projects this year is being funded directly from and through the CBI program. And this is the program that opposition parliamentarians are in social media deriding and putting up for public ridicule. When they destroy this goose, what other specimen of bird will they bring forward to underwrite the cost of developing this country? What's the alternative? That we should tax the country to raise $271 million to finance the budget? What's the alternative? How many of us can pay more taxes in Dominica? How many of us are able to pay taxes in Dominica to finance the development of our country? This is the billion-dollar question that thinking citizens in this country must ask.
Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerritt. In more news, financing has been outlined as one of the major challenges facing the Dominica Infirmary. Chairman of the Dominica Infirmary Board of Directors, Thomas Holmes, says while they receive a subvention from the government, it is not adequate to meet their financial obligations. The infirmary houses over 90 residents, and Holmes says to care for one resident costs over $2,000 a month.
The biggest challenge really now is finance. Now, let me explain. Finance in the sense that, as I mentioned earlier on, we get a subvention from the government, but it does not go far enough to cover all the expenses we have. Because we have, on a regular basis, we have between 92 to 95 residents. And just imagine one resident alone to feed, to give medication, to take care of one resident for a month is over $3,000. So if you have 90 plus residents, so just imagine the amount of money, you know? And then that is really, that's our biggest challenge. How do we keep on getting, you know, the money for it to continue flowing so that we can maintain?
Holmes also called on family members to play a greater role in caring for their relatives at the Dominica Infirmary.
We would like the relatives of the residents themselves, you know, to play a bigger role, because some relatives bring in their residents and then some of them don't turn back at all. And we know that some of the residents, they receive pension and other forms of allowance. And some families, they bring it to the infirmary. They give the infirmary, you know, a donation, you know, to take care of the relatives. But there are some other relatives who do not turn back. They do not give anything, and the infirmary has to feed, has to do all those things. And if in case that they pass, then the infirmary has to be the one that has to take care of the funeral. And as I said, there are some relatives who really play their part.
Chairman of the Dominica Infirmary Board of Directors, Mr. Thomas Holmes. Meantime, Health Minister Dr. Kenneth Daru says while 113 of the 197 parties to the Paris Agreement have ratified it, it still remains nothing more than a piece of paper with signatures. The Paris Agreement is an agreement within the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, which sets out a global action plan to put the world on track to avoid dangerous climate change by limiting global warming to well below 2 degrees Celsius. Coming from COP22, the 22nd conference of parties under the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, which took place in Marrakesh, Morocco from November 7th to the 18th, 2016, Dr. Daru says the issue of climate change for small island developing states is no longer an intellectual discussion. Dr. Daru was addressing a press briefing on Wednesday morning.
The issue of climate change right now for us, especially small island developing states, is no longer an intellectual discussion. It has moved beyond that. It has even moved past a developmental issue. It is now to us an existential issue. And most of us saw what happened last year in tropical Costa America. And years gone by, we would experience these non-seasonal or unseasonal weather events, and of course, we'd go through them, etc., from time to time. We saw what happened last year, tropical Costa America. But for smaller than developing states, we've been very vocal, and we've managed to get a number of issues into the Paris Agreement, issue of funding, which of course is first and foremost on our mind, because we realize that we are now suffering the brunt of the effects of climate change, suffering a phenomenon that we had very little or nothing at all to do with. We emit very little greenhouse gases, but we are suffering the brunt of it. And what happens that every year, monies that would have been budgeted for new development, new initiatives, new investments, now have to go now into restoration and cleanup after this event. So it has become, as I said, an existential issue for smaller and developing states. I mean, we had like 20-something, 30-something deaths last year from tropical Costa America, and the need for the developed countries to meet their commitments.
COP22 was dubbed the COP of Action, and Dr. Daru says while he has a glimmer of hope, he wishes that the process to obtain funding for climate resilient programs and projects is expedited.
There's a glimmer of hope, as I said, coming from the COP. But what I think is interested the most small island states would be the issue of the financial part of it, the Green Climate Fund, the much elusive Green Climate Fund, where developed countries would have pledged $100 billion annually into this fund to take effect, I think, from 2020. But this fund has already kicked in. And as we speak, countries, including Dominica, would have submitted projects for funding under this fund. So we're hoping that of course, this process doesn't take time and delay like a lot of these international. And this is one of the things that coming from this conference that we need to do. We have a number of in-house things, mechanisms that we have to put in place to.
Health Minister Dr. Kenneth Daru. Meantime, Dominica signed on to an important process geared at improving environmental governance in the region, the first day of the fifth negotiating committee meeting of the Regional Agreement on Access to Information, Participation and Justice in Environmental Matters in Latin America and the Caribbean has got off to a good start. These announcements were made by Mr. Lloyd Pascal, Director of the Environmental Coordinating Unit in Dominica's Environment Ministry. Dominica, which is the 23rd signatory to the declaration, joins fellow negotiators at the Economic Commission for Latin America and the Caribbean ECLAC headquarters in Santiago, Chile, to continue negotiations from November 21st to the 25th, 2016. In her opening address, Ms. Andrea Sanhueza, elected representative of the public in Chile, said, "The world is changing at an unprecedented pace. Many leaders coming to power in various parts of the world are much less interested in and willing to defend the environment, protect human rights, strengthen communities, or empower citizens. That is why reaching a comprehensive binding agreement is a task that can no longer wait. We call on governments to act promptly and have an agreement signed at the end of 2017. This agreement is from and for our region." Also addressing the opening were the Minister of Environment of Chile Mr. Pablo Badne, and ECLAC's Executive Secretary, Mrs. Alicia Barsena. In essence, they noted that the P10 negotiations provide an opportunity for us to rethink our decision-making processes and that our region can be the protagonist of this people-centered approach to environmental governance, where citizens are active subjects instead of objects. Additionally, Mrs. Barsena said, this process connects environmental issues with human rights and redefines the relationship between governments, private sector, civil society, and the public. ECLAC also revealed a creative tool called Observatory on Principle 10 in Latin America and the Caribbean. This platform, which will be launched in about 2 weeks, will share information on laws, policies, and ruling of environmental courts related to Principle 10. This tool shows the connection between international agreements like the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development Goals and the Climate Change Paris Agreement and Principle 10. This is essential considering the UNFCCC and the CDGs like Principle 10 all have their origins in the Rio Declaration on Environment and Development. In more news this morning, Chief Medical Officer Dr. David Johnson has described recent statements circulating via social media regarding water contamination in Dominica as baseless misinformation. Recently, an anonymous source released a warning via social media, WhatsApp, speaking of a foreign individual's death after drinking unsafe water in Dominica. At a recent press conference with Health Minister Dr. Kenneth Daru, Johnson stated that based on the results of regular checkups of Dominica's water system, the Ministry of Health has no concerns relating to the quality of drinking water here.
Information has circulated on social media with regards to the quality of the water in Dominica. The Ministry of Health obviously wishes to allay any doubt that the general public might have at this present moment in relation to death due to drinking water in Dominica. It's unfortunate, really, that these baseless and misinformation of the water contamination have caused really unnecessary alarm in the general public. Okay, the Ministry of Health, and particularly more so our Environmental Health Department, we have a legal responsibility to monitor the quality of the drinking water and even the recreational water for both our visitors and residents alike. So we do such thing as annual sanitary assessment of all the catchments and intakes of water in Dominica. We take specimen and we refer some of this to other public health labs, the Caribbean Public Health Agency, to do further analysis for us. And to date, there is no concern that the Ministry, the water company indicated, the Ministry of Health has absolutely no concern.
Chief Medical Officer Dr. David Johnson. Acting National Epidemiologist Dr. Shaluddin Ahmed has praised Dominica for its robust monitoring of viral outbreaks. Speaking at a press conference with Health Minister Dr. Kenneth Daru, Ahmed stated that Dominica has been recognized by PAHO and CAFA for its surveillance methods, gaining first place over the last few years. Dr. Ahmed went on to confirm the deaths supposedly related to the flu were indeed sudden, as most of these individuals had no history of flu-like symptoms before their death. He says, however, investigations are ongoing into the cause of those who exhibited flu symptoms before their deaths.
Our surveillance system is robust with respect to the level of degree of the surveillance that exists in Dominica. It's been recognized by PAHO as well as CARFA. We became the first in a couple of years, in the last couple of years, in terms of our surveillance process in Dominica. We not only track the diseases, we also have a scientific measurement baseline data in order to say we have the academic threshold, so at what point we will alert our health facilities, at what point we will inform the public. So surveillance is ongoing. We are monitoring the situation. I know people are very concerned about the deaths that are occurring. We are investigating those deaths. Most of the deaths are sudden death, and they had other complications. They did not have any history of flu illness. There are a few had a history of flu illness, I do recognize. However, we are investigating whether the cause of the death of those cases. So any information is available to us, so we will share with you all.
And that was Acting National Epidemiologist Dr. Shaladin Ahmed. In more news in the region, Venezuelan state oil company PDVSA, operator of the Isla oil refinery in Curaçao, is in financial trouble. According to the Prime Minister of Curaçao, Dr. Bernard Whiteman, managers must hand in their cars and there is no money to fund the traditional Christmas decorations and carnival parades this year. Staff over 60 years of age do not have to continue working until retirement, he stated. And U.S. President-elect Donald Trump has appointed the first two women to his incoming administration. South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley was nominated as U.S. Envoy to the U.N. and Betsy DeVos as Education Secretary. Both are former critics of Mr. Trump, with Mrs. Haley once saying she was not a fan and Mrs. DeVos branding the Manhattan tycoon an interloper. Mr. Trump's presidential primary rival, Ben Carson, also hinted he would soon be named for a post. And that's the morning news, but first a recap of our headlines. Hotelier says government failed Dominica in the agriculture, tourism, health and housing sectors. Curaçao refinery operator in financial crisis. And Trump picks Nikki Haley and Betsy DeVos as first women for cabinet. The news was brought to you through the very kind compliments of DigiCell. Remember, if you've missed any of our newscasts, you can always log on to our website. It's www.q95da.com to view the stories, or click on the podcast icon to listen to the various packages. Also, for any breaking story or latest development, send us your iReports via text or WhatsApp message to 615-1426 or 276-2147. On behalf of the entire news team, I've been your presenter, Richie Farrell, wishing you a very pleasant morning.